this is News Director Larissa Donovan continuing my Meet the Candidates interview series. Joining me on the phone today is Dave Larson, a candidate for Bemidji City Council at Large. So, Dave, I know you said you retired a couple years ago. What made you want to come back to the City Council?
Well, that is a very good question. I had 2 years ago decided not to run for re-election. And after Jim Thompson's resignation, I felt that it was time to go for the 2 years that are remaining in his seat and possibly carry on some of the things that Jim had hoped to do and obviously get involved in all the other activities that are going on.
All right. So I know you served on the City Council at Large seat, but you were also mayor of Bemidji for some time, right?
I was 2009 and 10 and 11, or 2 years.
Okay.
2009 and 10.
And
I was.
Okay. And what other?
And then,
go ahead.
Well, then I ran for re-election, and I candidly say that I got unelected. I don't like the defeated word. Then in 2011, I campaigned and was a councilor at large in 13, 14, 15, and 16. Those 4 years I served that as councilor at large.
Okay. So I know you also are pretty instrumental with Ruby's Pantry of Bemidji. You want to tell us a little bit about your experiences with that?
Well, I was on the founding board of Ruby's Pantry. That's a Christian food distribution ministry. We, I believe, began that 4 years ago and serve on a monthly basis food for approximately 400 families. So that we have served 15,000 to 18,000 families over that period of time. It occurs once a month, and we've been doing that at the Sanford Center. And it's been very well. I've been very involved in that and still am, and thoroughly enjoy that. It's a good thing to be doing.
All right. And is there any other roles in the community you serve? You're a pastor, is that right?
I'm a retired architect. I'm not a pastor.
Oh.
I am on the church board at Bemidji First Assembly. I help the others try and keep our pastor in line. No, he's a great guy, Pastor Paul.
Okay.
Awesome church.
All right. How long have you lived in the Bemidji area?
We moved here 13 years ago in 2007. At that point, we moved here, and I assumed a position with the APC Architects as marketing and architecture. I worked there for 9 years and retired, I guess it's been almost 4 years ago.
All right. Well, my next few questions are on some specific city issues, such as half of the city is non-taxable land and properties, so some may consider a significant burden to operate the city falls on those remaining city property taxpayers. What solutions do you have that you think might start to solve that problem?
Okay, first of all, when I was mayor, we did implement a 2% fee on city utilities, phone, cable, TV, and things of that nature. And that gave the non-taxable properties an opportunity to contribute to the economic welfare of our city. That was a tax, obviously, that was imposed on everyone. You cannot tax non-taxable properties and impose a tax on them and or a fee on them and not on someone else. For example, Alexandria has approximately 23 to 25% of their real estate is non-taxable. here we're at or slightly above 50% with the university, the hospitals, the VOTEC, the churches, and all the things of that nature are traditionally non-taxable. The solution is not more taxes. I think we, as far as the Sanford Center is concerned, we do need to wait out and see what's happening with the COVID-19. That has put an incredible obstacle in its success. And VenueWorks is working with the local management to try to find a balance of survival at this point. So we're looking at that additional tax, special use tax, as a possibility, but no tax is equitable. For example, in my real estate, I pay stormwater, I pay monies to the school, the fire department, the police department, and I don't have stormwater. I don't have any children in school. I've never had a fire, and the police have never come to my house. So, but those services are available. So you could look at it that way and say, well, wait a minute, I'm paying taxes that I have never used those services for. But that's not the point. They're all available.
Okay, so so my next question is support for a hospitality or special use tax to support the Sanford Center, but you seem to indicate like you want to wait on that and see how COVID-19 plays out.
Well, I think we have to see what COVID-19 is doing, and I think we are premature to try and resolve with a tax and until we know exactly where we're at. I think in the future, my belief is that a lodging tax might be appropriate because that would not tax the citizens of Bemidji necessarily, but would give the guests an opportunity to contribute to that cause. Again, I don't believe any tax is perfectly acceptable and equitable for everybody. You know, it's going to be of benefit to some and not to others. But I think the a lodging tax, I know there's opposition to that, but when I go to Bloomington and stay at a motel before I fly out of Minneapolis, I can assure you there's a lot of taxes on that. And that doesn't prevent me from staying at that motel for that time that I need to be there.
Okay. My next question is on the Highway 197 business corridor. MnDOT plans to work on that stretch of highway within the coming years. It kind of depends on where this committee goes with their planning. Of course, multiple roundabouts planned for that highway was scrapped. What do you think should happen there to improve safety?
I think that's going to be up to the committee initially. In talking to the folks there, probably half the people on that committee are business owners in that corridor, so they're going to have very legitimate input. I believe they're talking in the committee is in its infancy, and I'm understanding it's probably 8 to 10 months before anything concrete would be officially presented. And again, that would be in concert with MnDOT because MnDOT has certain requirements and goals and objectives. You know, two things that contradict one another. One is the speed which you get everybody through town on that. And secondly is the safety of everybody that's on that road. And there's going to be a balance like there is on everything else. But I think we'll wait and see what the new committee comes up with. And we're going to have more than ample opportunity to to have input into that.
All right. Well, my next question is on city water and wastewater. The city's water system is undergoing an expensive fix. I think work began earlier this summer on a water treatment plant. And as the legislature continues to kick the can down the road for a bonding package, without that, that burden to pay for this project will likely fall to utility ratepayers. What are your thoughts on the project, and what are your thoughts on how the legislature is handling the bonding bill?
Okay, both the water and the sewer plant come under my heading of unfunded mandates, where the state, health department, whomever, imposes on a city, a community, requirements without any suggestions as to how it's going to be funded. It's my understanding that the portion that's under construction is being paid for, being paid for by the monies that we have had as reserves. And again, the bonding for the next phase of that is in my opinion, being politically played with at the state level. And we need to get that resolved, and hopefully it'll come about. And in the event that that doesn't, you're exactly right, Larissa, it'll go to the utility fees, which would be pretty much a difficult thing.
Right. My next question focuses on recent events in the city and state have highlighted the issues of racism and distrust of the government. What would you do as a council member to improve race relations and trust?
Well, first of all, I am not a racist, neither a contributor nor, fortunately, a recipient of any racism. I believe that everyone is created equal. One thing I think that is lacking is street-level communication with the various participants of that issue. I think a dialogue on a non-confrontational level would help. I think just getting a better understanding of each other would be really good. And I think that could happen with some community dialogue. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist, but I do believe there is a solution for it, and I think it begins with honest communication.
All right. My last question is on COVID-19. Many businesses are starting to get back to closer to normal. But what do you think a city council's role should be in a public health emergency such as COVID-19?
Well, our mayor did mandate a mask issue and social distancing, followed up by the governor doing that. And currently we're operating under those mandates, particularly the governor's. My opinion is that it's probably going to become less of an issue after the election, because I think it's a possibility it's definitely overemphasized, and possibly it has become a political issue. We did have hydroxychloroquine, which was proposed, the malaria drug, which was proposed and suggested as a solution to some of the cases, but that was disallowed, and so we live with it. I do believe we need to have a degree of social distancing and comply with the majority or the principle of the mandates that we have from the governor. As far as what the city should do, the city council probably ought to do nothing because we already have mandates. If the council said, no, we're not going to comply with it, we'd be in violation. So I don't see that the council will have, hopefully by January when I get in office, I hope it's not even an issue. But if it is, I don't think it's something that the city needs to weigh in on necessarily. That's my take on it.
All right. Well, that takes care of my questions today. Thank you so much for taking the time to answer them. Dave Larson for Bemidji City Council at Large.